or his glory, our eternal hope. How about that? The sun is shining, the grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the king is still on the throne. How about that? Bless his holy name. Bless the name of Jesus. Okay, folks, got some announcements to make. And we'll share these. Starting tomorrow is the senior VBS. If you'd like to take part in that, it's a unique thing we're going to try to do. You know, the kids always have fun in vacation Bible school. We thought we adults might have fun in vacation Bible school. So for the first 3 days of next week, we're going to have Bible school here from 10 to 2. Lunch is included. So please let Kathy know if you'd like to be a part of that crowd, Kathy or Chris Steinbreger. And we'll make sure that you know what you need to know. But 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, here at the church house. And then if you're interested in community events, LifeWise, which is a program that goes into the schools and help teach Bible courses through using some of the school situation and mixing them together in a way that's palatable to the school and the community. Anyway, they have a meeting Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the high school cafeteria. So if you're interested in that, please be there so that you can find out more about that and maybe make your voice known if there's something you need to talk about. I want to thank Everett for the beautiful church we have. All the flowers for that, and for those that purchased these. Don't forget that these flowers, if you purchased a flower in memory of somebody or in honor of somebody, they're yours to take. So after service today, take that flower with you, and I believe these can be transplanted into your front yard. So. There you go. Two uses, same dollar. Then Maycene's looking for another helper. I don't know if you've seen that little Sunday school class, but it is growing. I love it. We have a group of little children in there. It's just fabulous. I know that they come in every day, brighten our Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning they come in there. It just makes me want to smile. And so if you like to work with children, have that gift. See Maycene and see if there's something you can do to help her in that class as that class is growing. And I also want to thank the gentleman who did the yard this week. I know it was a busy week, but they got out and it looked so nice when we pulled in the church, the green grass and the way it was trimmed up, manicured. We want to thank those trustees and those helpers that do that. So thank you so much for the fellows and the girls and guys that took care of that for us. So thank you. Well, you know, last Friday, the pastor, we had a good Friday service, and the pastor did an excerpt from a sermon, and it's called "But Sunday is Coming." Friday, but Sunday is coming, and he went through all the pain and suffering that Christ went for, but Sunday's coming. Well, guess what? It's Sunday. It's Easter. It's time for celebration. Let's thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. God bless you all, and we're glad to have you with us this Easter morning for service. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Would you stand this morning? Let's sing, shall we? Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. You know this song?
Yes.
Okay, I think the choir does. That's all that matters. They're behind me.
Celebrate. He is risen. He is risen. And he lives forevermore.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate.
Lift up.
He is risen. He is risen. Resurrection of our Lord.
Amen.
He arose, he arose.
Let's read together, shall we? Acts 2. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Revelation. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I love that amen. That's it. That's what the Lord said. It's done. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. Sing that without the piano, shall we? Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. My heart sings this song again. Hallelujah, praise the Father, this morning, we do praise your name. All because of your resurrection, Lord, gives us cause to lift up your name, to praise your name, to sing hallelujah, and to say thank you this morning. Lord, it's good to be in your house this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. It's on.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? Because we serve a risen Savior, don't we? He's not in the grave anymore. It's empty. All the other religious leaders are still there. Their bones are still in the grave, but Jesus's are not there because he's alive. And he offers us salvation and hope and a new life and a home in heaven. We're going to take a minute this morning. If you want to praise the Lord for something, just raise your hand and I'll come around and you can praise God for whatever you want to praise him for this morning. So.
Praise the Lord for a new grandchild and another one on the way.
New grandchild and one on the way. New life.
Yeah.
You said she's glad to be here and glad that you're all here as well.
Hi, good morning. I'm just praising God today because if you don't know, I got a new job at the Main Street Deli, so I needed that job and I didn't even know it. So I would not have been able to pay all my bills this month if I didn't have it. So that came at the perfect time, and that's what God does. He always comes at the perfect time.
I just praise God for all his blessings to Ren and I and our family. And also, I want to ask all of you to please pray for my family. I lost my brother Friday morning, and it was sudden. And so we'll be traveling down in Kentucky tomorrow. So pray for us and my family. His name was Donald Fields. Thank you.
I just want to give an update on my foot.
I want to thank you for your prayers again, but I'm walking a little. The pain is very bad. I've had a hip and a knee replaced, and this is probably worse than both of them together. But that's expected after you've had all this reconstruction done on the foot that I had. But anyhow, I also want to praise the Lord. Yesterday, or last night, my daughter, my daughter-in-law and my son came over, and my grandchildren, our grandchildren, Steve's and mine. And we have a little granddaughter who's soon to be 6 in July, but she's had 3 open bypass heart surgeries, and she's going to be 6. And it was just a blessing to sit there and play games with her. And after all she'd been through, she had 3 things wrong with her heart when she was born. But you know, the Lord's been faithful, and he has brought her through all those bypass surgeries. And she's playing soccer and t-ball. And so, you know, I just want to give God all the glory. So praise his name.
Hi, Dan. Good.
I've asked prayers before for my former manager at work. He had colon cancer. He did all the treatments and everything. He started back to work, and then he disappeared again. And then I contacted him. He said it's back, and it's aggressive, and it's spreading. So he's a believer, and he just needs lots of prayers.
Name is Paul. Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. Thank you that you have risen. You're not in the grave. You're not there anymore, but you're alive and active. And we just thank you for that in our lives, and pray be with Paul. Lord, just help him, guide and direct him, and just bring him through this painful thing he's going through with colon cancer, Lord. Let's pray for healing. Here, Lord, if not here, then you'll heal him in heaven. But we just pray for that to take place. And thank you, Lord, for bringing us here. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the communion we're about to receive. Be with your message this morning, Lord, that it can be sharper than a two-edged sword and pierce hearts and minds. And bring us, Lord, to the realization of what the resurrection really did and what it really does for us. Be with all these different requests, Lord, that have been made, and those who didn't speak out but have requests as well for families and friends. And for this special day, Lord, that we can celebrate being together with our families and knowing that we serve a risen Lord. And now we give you the praise in your name. Amen.
had to make sure we were going by the plan on the bulletin. Sometimes they switch them around on me. And I did want to say one thing I didn't mention in the announcements, though. We have so many people here that don't normally come. We're so glad you're here. You're welcome. But you're going to have another opportunity in a couple weeks if you want to come and hear something exciting and wonderful. Not that our pastor isn't always exciting and wonderful. But a young man and his wife, Timothy Noble, and his wife, Hosanna. Did I say her name? Hosanna, right? They had a wonderful concert. And if you would come on the 23rd to our 10:30 service, it would be well worth your time. So I just throw that out there so you are aware of that. I know it's written here, but I want to make sure you're especially aware of that. You know, communion is a sacred time in most of the Protestant denominations. It is one of the two sacraments. There are two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, or communion. And, you know, some of you may have taken communion with us on Friday. We had communion here on Good Friday service, and we're having it again today, and you may, well, that's pretty close together. Well, it is, and it's completely up to you how you feel on that comfortable. I know there are some denominations that take communion every week. We do it monthly here. I grew up in a denomination that only took it once a year. But the Lord didn't say when to take communion. He just said as oft as you take communion. So when you do it, we have a responsibility to take it within the standards and the way taught by the Bible. And so we will maintain that. So if you have any reservation, that's completely up to you. If you have no reservation, you're completely welcome to, again, partake of the Lord's Supper. The bread used, I think, I just want to talk a little bit about bread. I know the pastor mentioned on Friday how he likes to tear the bread. He likes that texture, that feeling of pulling the bread apart and resembling, as Jesus said, breaking the bread. You know, God gave the Hebrew children, as they were wandering through the wilderness, bread, manna. God gave them, in fact, it was one of the things in the ark, was a piece of that bread that had been given to them. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is the town of bread. Bethlehem is the town of bread. And then we go on into the Bible and enter in the book of John's. Jesus fed, and he fed the 4,000. But this is talking about the 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two fishes. And then as he explained to him, as he was explaining to them the you know, they were all about the miracle of the thing, but he was trying to explain to them that he was the bread of life, and that if they took the bread that he had to offer, they would never be hungry again. And so it's very significant that he was teaching them even then about what he was going to reteach the 12 on the night of communion, that his body is the bread, or his bread represents his body in this case, and that the juice or the wine, we use juice here, would represent the blood. And in so giving, his life's blood was spent so that you and I could receive the mercy of salvation. And so if did the elements we need to, I'm so sorry, I should have had you passing them out. We need to get the elements out. And as you take some, and you may or may not be used to this form of communion, these are individually wrapped communion packages. On the top layer, there is a wafer that you pull loose, and the wafer is, and then underneath that's another seal with the juice. And if you'll wait till we all, you can start breaking them loose because they are sometimes difficult to do, but we'll take the elements together as we begin to do this. This is also a good time, the Bible tells us, to take this worthily, in a worthy manner. That's not only that is partly the way we take it, but it's also within our hearts to make sure that we understand the meaning of communion. When we take communion, we're saying we understand that Jesus gave his body and his blood for us, and that we are receiving that and accepting that. We acknowledge that. And so look in your heart to see if there's anything that might need to be reconciled or anything that you might need to commit to Jesus. And then we'll take the communion. I thank the Lord for a small miracle, because I normally can't get these things open. And my wife normally does that for me. So. But there is one place in the Bible there in Corinthians where Paul gives us instruction. And he tells us about how the Lord had given this instruction to him, how we might receive this communion. And there in the 11th chapter, the 23rd verse, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Take the wafer, break it, and eat it. And in the same manner, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink the Lord's cup. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," listen to this, "you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." His death for us. Our merciful God, as you have extended your love to us through the Son who died for our sins, but now risen for our eternal hope, we honor your gift in remembrance of your love. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? And on Resurrection Sunday, what a better day to proclaim the Lord and to celebrate his rising. I see a lot of faces that I don't often see. And just to let you know, I'm nervous as all get out. I am blessed. That's it, you know, it's a beautiful day, and to be with everyone and just to have the honor and the joy to sing of his resurrection is just awesome. God can use anything, and I'm living proof. So let's sing about his walking out of the grave. across a rugged hill. The sky was dark, the world was still. The Savior took his final breath, and then he closed his eyes in death. A borrowed tomb was where he lay, but in 3 days he walked out of the grave. Stone was rolled away, hear the empty tomb shout. He walked out, the victor over death, the King of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah, he walked out. And now he reigns forevermore. He is the Christ, the risen Lord. And darkness bows and shadows flee. The enemy is under his feet. Oh, yes, he shattered every chain that glorious day when he walked out. Walked out of the grave, the stone was rolled away, near the empty tomb shout. He walked out, the victor over death, the King of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah, he walked out. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Jesus has overcome. The battle was won when he walked out. Walked out of the grave, a stone was rolled away, near the empty tomb shout. He walked out, the victor over death, the King of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah, he walked out. He walked out of that grave, stone was rolled away, hear the empty tomb shout. He walked out, the victor over death, the King of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah, he walked out. Oh, oh, oh. He walked out. Oh, hallelujah, he walked out.
That's hard to do. I don't know if you ever sang with a tract before, but that's really hard to do, so Holly did a great job on that. If you haven't tried it before, try it sometime. Just a little clarification. On Tuesday, there's a board meeting with the school board. That's what's happening on Tuesday at the high school. So if you're supporting LifeWise, just show up. You don't have to say anything. Just be there. We want to just let them know the community wants to have LifeWise in the school system. And so far, they've said no twice. Even though it's in their policy that they've approved it, they're still saying no. So we just want support from the community to show up. You don't have to say anything. Just be there in support of LifeWise on Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the high school cafeteria, and they can see that the community wants it, okay? They did the policy in 2014, I think they renewed it, and it's in there. And the state says we can do it, we're just trying to do it in a reasonable manner, and not be belligerent, but just say, you know, this is your policy, just go with your policy, what you have. So anyway, that's what that was. I didn't get a chance to explain everything to Russ, probably too much information at one time. My wife tells me all that kind of stuff, and I'm like, you know what, just text it to me. Go to the grocery store, I need milk, and I need bread, and I need whatever, and I'll say, just text it.
I've got also, just to my wife, excuse me, I forgot to thank my wife for the breakfast foods out this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy, for all that. Did a great job setting that up yesterday and today. So, well, on Friday, I did a part of a message by a guy named S.M. Lockwood. I don't know if you heard of him or not, but... He's like, it's Friday and Sunday's coming, but didn't want to do that because that's not me, so I didn't do it that way. But he does it that way, so I'm just going to use a little bit more of his. I adapted some of the things he used. And on Friday, we said Jesus was arrested in the garden where he was praying. The disciples ran and hid Peter denied knowing him. Jesus stood before the high priest as silent as a lamb. He was beaten, mocked, and spit on. The Roman soldiers flogged him with a leather scourge that had bits of bone and glass and metal tearing at his flesh. So if you ever looked at the crucifixion, you can see what happens when you get hit with that a few times. And you can imagine there's glass and bone in something that's hitting you. It starts to just tear your back muscles and bleed and everything else. So it's a gruesome thing to have happen to you. He stood there as they pressed the crown of thorns on his brow and hit him in the head and plucked out his beard. So can you imagine that, having your beard get plucked out? You ladies know what that, you guys know what that feels like, to get your beard plucked out? Anytime you pull out any kind of hair on your face, it hurts, doesn't it? So you can imagine if they're grabbing your beard and just ripping it out, what's happening to that. And yet he stood there and allowed it to happen because he did it for us. They made him walk to Calvary in his weakened condition, carrying the cross on his shoulders. And some people show it's a whole cross, and some people show it's just the cross beam. Whatever it was, it's going to be heavy, isn't it? Because it's going to hold a person up. So it's a heavy thing that he's already been beaten. His back is ripped open. He's been bloodied. His head has been bruised. He's been punched in the face, and his beard ripped out, and he's carrying this thing as far as he can until he can't carry it any longer. And they have Simon of Cyrene carry that. Then after all this, the Roman soldiers laid him on his back that was torn open and drove nails into his hands and his feet. And we talked about on Friday how they drove it into the space adestat, which is in your wrist, actually. Because if they drove it through his hands, it'll pull through. So there's a nerve in there. They drive it through a nerve, and your hand bends. So look up that sometime to see what actually happens in the crucifixion when they're doing that. And as they drove it through his feet, he has to push up in order to breathe. So as you're hanging on the cross, your organs start to sag and crush in on your lungs, so you can't breathe. You got to push up on your feet. And that's why you hear him say they broke their legs on the cross, so they would suffocate and die. When they came to Jesus, they didn't break his legs because he already dismissed his spirit before that had happened. Even in his agony, he was able to say, "Father, forgive them," as he was dying and bleeding on the cross. Now, I can't imagine doing that myself. When you're being tortured and beaten and mocked and they're gambling for your clothes and you say, "Forgive them," they don't know what they're doing. But that's the kind of heart that he has and gives an example for us. The sky grew dark and the earth began to tremble as Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Finally, he said, "It is finished," and he died. And then he was wrapped in cloths and laid in a tomb that was borrowed, guarded by a regiment of soldiers. And everybody thought at that point that it was the end, but Sunday was coming. They didn't know that, did they? He told the disciples he would rise again, but they didn't really figure out what it meant. But now it's Sunday. And just about dawn on that first day of the week, there was a great earthquake. But that wasn't the only thing that was shaking, because now it was Sunday. The angel of the Lord came down out of heaven and rolled the stone away from the door of that tomb, and the angel of the Lord sat upon that stone. And the guards that were posted there to keep the body from disappearing were shaking in their boots because it was Sunday. You heard about being scared stiff? It's a condition where you're so scared you can't move. Well, they were scared stiff. They couldn't move. They were so scared. The Lamb that was silent before the slaughter is now the resurrected Lord Jesus, the Lion of Judah. The angel proclaimed, "He's not here, for he is risen indeed." Can you imagine how those ladies felt when they're looking for Jesus in that tomb? It's open and he's not there. And there's an angel there, and the burial cloths are laying on the stone, or whatever he was laying on, and his body was gone. Have you heard of the Shroud of Turin? That's supposedly the burial cloth that he was wrapped in, that when he rose and was resurrected, it actually left an impression on that cloth of him because he came through the cloth. It wasn't unwrapped from him. Well, Billy Graham said it something like this: "Jesus died between two thieves on a rugged cross on Calvary just outside Jerusalem. Jesus, the Son of God, came down from heaven and humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus gave his head to a crown of thorns for us. He gave his face to human spit for us. He gave his cheeks and his beard to be plucked out for us. He gave his back to the lash for us. He gave his side to the spear for us. He gave his hands and feet to the nails for us. He gave his blood for us. Jesus Christ dying in our place, took our sins on that cross, was God's love in action. He's no longer in the grave because he rose again and he's living today. But what happens if Jesus didn't rise? What would be different? What would it be like today if he hadn't risen? We read a message this week from a guy named Tom Shepard, and I took some of his information, because you know nothing is new under the sun, right? You can't make up all the new stuff yourself, so you read and see what's out there. But today's Easter, the day we celebrate the resurrection. In 1990, which was a long time ago for some people, and for some of us, it was like yesterday. George Gallup took a survey and found that 84% of the people he talked with believed in the resurrection. Now, that was over 32 years ago. What do you think that percentage would probably be today? Probably half that or less than half, maybe a third of that don't believe in the resurrection. They think it's probably fake. It's not real. It didn't happen. But the resurrection of Jesus is a historical fact that he rose from the grave, because it didn't happen in secret, did it? There are at least 15 accounts in the Bible that talk about Jesus meeting people, eating, talking with people after he rose from the dead. At one point, a crowd of 500 people saw him after the resurrection. So there should be no doubt the resurrection is a historical fact, and it did happen. Today, sometimes you get one or two witnesses, and people say it's true, right? But if you have 500 witnesses, shouldn't that say something happened, and people saw it, and they believed it, and it really was? But what does the resurrection mean? It means that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Well, who did he claim to be? So think about it. He never claimed to be a great religious leader. He never claimed to be a great prophet. But he did claim to be the Son of God, didn't he? And even when he's baptized, the dove came down and said, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." Claimed to be equal with God. Now, to the religious leaders of that time, to say you're the Son of God means you're saying you're equal to God. You're saying you have God's authority, you have God's power, you're a direct descendant of God, and you're part of his bloodline. Who can say that? Nobody, unless you're the Son of God, right? To them, this was blasphemy. No one could be equal with God unless you were his son. That's exactly what Jesus claimed. He claimed to be the Son of God. So let's ask a few questions. Who has the power to forgive sin? God does, and Jesus does, right? Who has the power to raise people from the dead? God does, and Jesus does. Who has the power to grant eternal life? God and Jesus. So Jesus could do all these things that God could do, so what does that tell us? Jesus is God, right? He's part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity. He forgave sin, he raised people from the dead, he told people they'd be with him in heaven, he claimed to be equal with the Father because he was, and we as Christians believe that Christ is God in the flesh, and God became flesh and dwelt among us. Matthew 16 says, which is Jesus, said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." See, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and Peter recognized it, didn't he? He said, "You're the Son of God." And he said, "Well, you didn't. Nobody told you that, but God revealed that to you, that I'm the Son of God." Here's some other claims he made in John 11. "I'm the resurrection and the life." He rose from the dead so we could live spiritually and eternally and have life abundantly. Does that mean you're going to be rich and famous? No. Does that mean you're going to be happy in the Lord? Yes. No matter what you are, what condition, what state you're in, you can be happy, you can be rich in your faith, rich in your family, and rich in your belief in the Lord. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Now, there's pretty strong claims. He claims to be the resurrection and the life, but he also claims to be the way and the truth and the life. He doesn't say a way or a truth. He doesn't say one of the ways or I'm just the way. He says, "I am the way." What do you guys all say in Ohio? The Ohio State University. That means that's the university, right? Sort of. But he says he is the way. He's the only way. And those proclaiming something different, that there's other ways to God, are lying. That's false. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. When you say there's more than one way, you're saying this. Let's say I pick up my phone and dial a random number and expect to get to my house. Is that going to work?
No.
You have to dial the number you want to connect, don't you? If I want to get to heaven, I need to connect to Jesus. The resurrection proves he is who he says he is, the Son of God, the Messiah, and he is the Savior, not just a Savior. Resurrection means he has the power that he claims to have. In John 10, verse 18, he said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." You know, Jesus couldn't have been killed unless he allowed it to happen. The soldiers weren't strong enough, powerful enough, wise enough to kill him unless he decided to let it happen. He chose to let it happen. They even took a spear and opened up his side, and blood and water flowed out to show that he had died. They thought for sure he was dead, and they put him in a tomb, sealed the tomb with a heavy stone, placed guards there 24 hours a day. But they couldn't keep him out, could they? The stone wasn't there to keep Jesus in, right? It was there to keep other people out. Jesus got out anyway, didn't he? Because you learn later on when he sees the disciples, he can walk through walls. So he could have walked through that stone if he wanted to. So they couldn't keep him down. No matter what they did, they couldn't keep him in the tomb. When the women came to the tomb, it was empty because Jesus had risen. And there was no one there. No one wrapped up. No one buried. He had the power to rise. And he did. The resurrection. He has the resurrection and the life. And he has the power that he claims he has over life and death and sin and evil. So if you think you're in a position that you've done all these things wrong and he can't forgive you, that's not true. He has power over that, over anything that's happened. He can forgive. He can make new. He can change. Amen. Look at David, who was basically a murderer, wasn't he? Had an affair, right? Had her husband killed, all the stuff that happened. And yet God used him in a mighty way because he repented and turned his way, didn't he? Oh, thanks. It's open? Thanks. Would you hold this while I drink it for me? No, I'm just kidding. Thanks, Dan. So the resurrection means that Jesus is able to do what he says he will do. And what did he say he would do? He said he would rise from the grave, didn't he? Anybody can say they would rise from the grave. You can say it before you pass away, I'm going to rise from this grave. And you go back 6 months later, and what's going to happen? They're still there, aren't they? But when Jesus said it, he did it, didn't he? And you think about that. Where are all the other historical religious leaders out there? Where's Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, Joseph Smith, and all the others who've died? They're still in the grave. You can go dig it up. They're still there. But you go to Jesus' tomb, and it's not there. It's empty. Some of you are thinking, well, I've heard of people who've been brought back from the dead. In fact, there's Bible stories of people who have risen from the dead. There are even people who say, well, somebody's died and come back to life. You may say, I have relatives that have died clinically and been resuscitated, but resuscitation is not resurrection. There's a difference, isn't there? Resuscitation is not resurrection. People who are resuscitated are going to die again. People who have been resurrected with a new body are never going to die. They're not going to die anymore. They're not going to die again. They have a new body. They're not going to get sick. They're not going to die. Their bodies won't give out. At some point, they're going to be in heaven, right? But those who have been resuscitated, at some point your body's going to stop functioning. It's just not going to keep going. This body's not going to keep going forever. But Jesus came back in a body that would never die. Imagine what that's going to be like. Body's never going to die. No arthritis, no colds, no allergies, no pain, no gray hair. Hair. Okay? All that stuff's going to happen. Can you imagine that? Yeah, Tom says amen back there. Raise his hand. You're never going to grow old because you're going to come back in a perfect body. It's not the perfect body that the magazines show. This is all the perfect body. It's a perfect body that's pure and clean and holy. And we don't know what that's going to be like for sure for us. Jesus came back in his body. Maybe we'll look the same. I don't know for sure. But there's no limits. John chapter 11, Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do we believe that's going to happen someday? Someday we're never going to die. This body will, but our spirit and a new body won't. When Jesus came back, he came back to live forever. Not to die, not to have pain, but to be resurrected with no limits. Imagine what that's like, no limits. If you want to fly around, I'm guessing you can fly around if you want. If you want to walk on water somewhere, you can do that. I don't know, I'm trying to imagine what it's like to have no limits. And that's going to be a good thing. So he claims who he says he is. He paid the price for our sin and gave us eternal life. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he says, the wages of sin is death, but. What does that word but mean? That means something else is happening. Something else has taken place. Something bad that was about to happen has been changed. He says, if you messed up, you can turn to him and he'll give you another chance to start over. If you think you're broken, he can fix you. You ever think about that? I think you're too far gone. There's too many things I've done. Well, he can fix that. Your sins can be forgiven. But there's a condition in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to confess them to him. You don't need to tell somebody else. You need to tell him what your sins are so he can forgive your sins and then cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But not only that, he'll make you clean. And he gives you abundant life in John 10, verse 10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. It's not just life in the future, but it's life here and now. To live the way he wants us to live, to be the way he wants us to be. So if he can rise from the grave, you think he can take care of your problems and help you with what you're going through? Make you a new and better person? Because we know who holds the future and we know how it ends. And God is in control. But we need to give him that control in our lives. And the last thing he talks about is the resurrection. It assures us we have a home in heaven. The question you need to ask yourself is, where are you going to go when you die? Are you going to go where Jesus went? You going to go to heaven? What's the alternative? Hell. There's two choices, right? Heaven or hell. You're not just going to float around forever. There's either heaven or hell, and you have a chance to make that choice. But you need to believe and accept him. Billy Graham said, my home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. That's the best way to think about it, isn't it? This isn't your home. You're just passing through. You ever been on a vacation that was horrible? The air conditioning was spewing out all kinds of stuff. You didn't know what it was. Carpet was filthy. You rolled over the bed and somebody else that had been there, it looked like. And you think, I'm glad I'm just traveling through. This is not my home. It's kind of like what this earth is, right? That kind of a vacation that you can't wait till it's over so you can get home. Well, there was a father who took his son to a carnival one time for his birthday. The son asked if six of his friends could go along. So the father bought a whole row of tickets for the boys. Each time the boys would get to a ride, the father would pull out seven tickets for all the boys to ride. Went through several rides until he came to the Ferris wheel. Father took out seven tickets and handed them to the boys, but he seemed to be one short. When he did a head count, there were now eight boys there. And he asked the eighth boy, who are you? He said, I'm Joe. I'm your son's new friend. We just met today and he invited me to come along. He said, would you give me a ticket? You think Joe got a ticket? Absolutely he got a ticket because he was his son's friend. And if he's his son's friend, his father's going to take care of him. You know, we become Jesus' friend, God takes care of us. He gives us a ticket to heaven, doesn't he? He says, my son invited you and you're his friend, so I'm going to take care of you. Billy Graham also said, with the words "it is finished," Jesus announced that heaven's doors were open. Heaven's doors are open. He died on that cross and rose again and opened heaven's doors to all who believe. Easter's not about the bunny, it's about the lamb, isn't it? It's about the lamb. A guy named Evan Essar once said, Easter's the only time when it's perfectly safe to put all your eggs in one basket. And to me, that's Jesus' basket, isn't it? Put all your eggs in Jesus' basket and let him carry you. Well, let's pray. Father, you told us there's only one way to get to heaven. That's by having a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray that we all would come to him and ask for forgiveness, believe in the power that raised him from the dead. May he forgive our sins, help us realize our purpose for living, and know that we have a home in heaven because of our risen Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's Sunday. We know that Jesus is alive. Happy Easter and enjoy this Resurrection Sunday.
Stand and sing that, shall we?
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Amen. He is risen. He's risen indeed. Thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord this morning. Go in peace.